Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Hey, friends.
Hey, everybody out there.
How's everybody doing?
All you fans and family.
Tons of them.
Yep.
Well, we're continuing our series on the preeminence of Christ in every area of our life.
That's right. We've been looking at the past several episodes, looking at it from different aspects, right? Just that preeminence thought carried through from Colossians, that he would be preeminent in everything. So talked about his preeminence in suffering.
Yes, his preeminence with Becca. Physical health with Brandy.
Yep.
Emotional.
Family,
yes,
with Jennifer.
Family with Jennifer, yeah. And emotional and mental with Vance. Loved all of those. I personally feel like this series has taught me a lot.
Yep.
I feel very personally encouraged through every one of those people.
That's right. And today we're talking about his preeminence
in our spiritual health.
With us. We're the special guests, honey. Finally.
Yes. This is the topic that I'm the most excited about. They're all intertwined. They all overlap.
Yeah.
But I do think this is the most important one.
Mm.
Because you can be physically healthy and not know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people do that.
Sure.
And you can actually have a certain level of emotional and mental health without knowing Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be spiritual healthy without Jesus.
Yeah.
And you can be sick as a dog in your bed, but if you have Jesus, you're good.
You're right.
Yeah. To a certain extent.
Yeah.
So I think it's super important, and I'm really excited to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, honey. It's going to be so good.
Okay, so what is spiritual health? What do you think it is?
That's a great question. I know the answer. Do you want me to answer, or are you going to go ahead and do that?
We have decided together that spiritual health means more of the Spirit. The more of the Holy Spirit we have in our lives, the more spiritually healthy we are. In a sense, it's like you have to become more spiritual.
Right.
To become more spiritually healthy, and the only spirit we want is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and in that sense, also like just more of God.
Yes.
More of him in us means more spiritual health.
The
way that happens is the Holy Spirit coming and making much of Jesus in us so that God, Jesus, and the Father can reside in us like they promised to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as we look at this together, we'll be thinking through not just being saved,
mm-hmm.
almost like next level Christian mm-hmm. living. I do think it's God's desire for every believer, but really pursuing the abundant life.
Right.
John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Right.
I believe we can be saved and not be experiencing the abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it, oh, that was a Nerf bullet on our door.
Yep.
So thank you, children.
Don't worry about that.
I do think as believers, it's exciting to know we just keep growing more and more in our abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep experiencing more and more of God.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, in this episode, we're talking through how do we position ourselves to experience more and more of God's presence and his power in our lives.
Yep. Yeah, I think the idea of really spiritual health, if we're talking about here, that means more of God in us. There's an idea of fullness, that his joy would be in us and that our joy would be full in him. So it's that idea of, I don't want to say a higher life. I think there's some things that not so great or helpful things that are associated with that, but it is this mm-hmm. sense of like fullness of more experience of him in mm-hmm. our lives.
So spiritual health is never less than regular Bible reading and prayer, never less than rejoicing in the gospel, preaching the gospel to yourself, obeying Christ, confessing sin, church involvement, fellowship, worship, knowing your identity in Christ. All those things are prerequisites. We have chosen to focus on.
Yeah, that's right.
In this episode.
And it does come from John 15:10. So we've talked a lot about abiding in the past. We did an episode on it. The reason we did an episode on it is because it's such a big part of the way that we teach and train here, is that we have spent years now focusing on John 15 for abiding. And John 15:10 says this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the two things from this passage that we want to focus on are keeping his commandments and abiding in his love through enjoying him. and really zeroing in on those two things as the primary aspects of spiritual health. Not to say that there's others that aren't a part of that, but I feel like those two are maybe neglected or somewhat misunderstood as just, as we were thinking through this topic. And so that's why we wanted to take some time to zero in on those two.
Yes. So obedience and abiding in Christ through enjoying his love. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Abiding in his love. So what do you think of when you hear the word obedience? Mm. How does that make you feel?
That's a good question. And since I prepared for this and have been studying the Bible on it, I'm probably not the best one to just ask off the cuff, right? Because usually, let's be honest, our heart reaction to obedience is not usually positive.
Yeah, I assume it's going to be hard and something I don't want to do.
Right. It's almost like it carries the connotation of I'm doing this against my will. Like somebody's forcing me to do it.
And it's not going to be fun.
And it's not going to be fun, right? Or good for me or whatever. I think particularly as Americans, as Westerners, we really have a strong reaction to ideas of obedience. It seems like mindless or heartless, or even in some cases like a violation of our rights or something. And what we're trying to do is look at the word and redeem this idea for us, because this is a really big deal. And the teaching of Jesus, this is huge. So many times, I finished 2022 in 1 John. And, you know, like I said, we've been teaching for several years now this, or focusing on the teaching on abiding from John 15. And you just can't, you can't get away from all the talk about keeping his commandments. I mean, that's just all over the place, especially in John and his writings. And so that commandment keeping, like I said, our natural gut reaction isn't usually like, oh, this is something that communicates love, right? But the biblical authors obviously thought totally differently than that, because it was so much a part of what they talked about. And so there, again, the passage, the central passage about abiding, John 15, 1 through 17, just talks about specifically, that's when Jesus says, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. And then goes through, and when we did, when we do the teaching, we draw out five elements, four from John 15 and one from 1 John 1, that we feel like are the pathways to abiding. But one of those, like I said, we're going to zero in on is this verse 10. Let me read it again. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So there's just some things we want to draw out about commandment keeping and about obedience and what that looks like and what that means for our spiritual health. So the very first thing and most important thing is that our commandment keeping, our obedience, is grounded in his love for us. The verse just prior to 10 is verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So commandment keeping has to be founded on his love for us first. And I think it's not a coincidence that verse 9 comes before verse 10. Because verse 9, his love for us, that has to be the ground and the foundation of anything that we're talking about that comes from us. So our commandment keeping does not produce his love for us. We know that, right? It doesn't earn it. His love for us is prior, right? That's Romans 5:8. He shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took the step to do it. So righteousness through commandment keeping is not a condition for God to love us. That has to be crystal clear. 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God's love for us is first and foundational. It's the root that produces everything else. Without it, there isn't anything else. I mean, that's the whole point of the parable, the metaphor, is that if Jesus is the vine, everything comes from him.
Yes.
Everything comes from God himself. That's really the whole point. And so it has to be rooted in that. That's what provides even the possibility that we could keep his commandments and love him. It's because he made the way for us. So he is the one that makes it possible by loving us first and taking that first step, initiating that towards us.
Amen. I agree. Keep going. You're
so
doing great.
Second thing is that loving him and keeping his commands, abiding in his love, I should say, and keeping his commands is inseparable. So John 14, 15 probably says it plainer than anywhere else. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's really a kind of a parallel statement to what we just read in John 15, 10. And so that's more even than a command. It's also a promise. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14:21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. John 14:23-24 says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Loving Jesus means keeping his word. Those two are tied together. Now, that's not all that loving Jesus means, but the two are inseparable. It's a absolute proof, evidence that we love him is that we obey his commands. Okay? So after the initial work of God's grace in us, him taking that step towards us, his act of loving us, and us finding new life in him, then we are able, we are made able by that new life to love him and to keep his commandments. So our love for him, our heart toward him, is still, it's still like prior, it's still foundational as the motive for our commandment keeping. But that love is not, in a sense, like consummated until it's acted on in obedience. And so in that way, they're inseparable.
Yeah, I just think the word inseparable is perfect.
Yeah.
These two things always go together. Mm-hmm. Loving God, obeying his commands. And we don't even have to fully understand, okay, so if I love God, I'm just going to naturally obey him. Oh no, I don't feel that right now. Does that mean I don't love God? We don't have to fully understand how mm-hmm. that always works.
Right.
They always go together.
Yeah.
I think what sometimes we get tripped up on is like, oh no, I don't feel like obeying him right now. Does that mean I don't love him? Oh right. No. There's a reason God gave us a bunch of commands, clearly. It's because we're not always going to feel like doing them.
That's exactly right. Right. That's the point sometimes of having commands, right? Or that we would hold up. You said, you know, if I don't feel like obeying him, does that mean I don't love him? The other side is, well, I don't feel the love right now, so I shouldn't obey him right now right. if I don't have that feeling, right? How many times have we talked ourselves out of that because, oh, I'm not in the right mental state. Mm-hmm. I'm not loving him. That's not the proper motivation. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. So I think that there is, again, there's the point, the reason it's a command is because they're actually mutually reinforcing. Mm-hmm. Yes. When we take the step of obedience, mm-hmm. it actually usually results in elevating our affections for God. Yes. It actually produces the love that we long to see. It changes our heart from the inside. I think that that's clear even from the way that it's talked about in these verses in John 14 and 15. It's kind of circular. In 14:21, he mm-hmm. says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. But in 14:23, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
Right.
And so it's like this back and forth.
It is.
It's this upward cycle.
And I think that's perfect because mm-hmm. we can't ever quite figure out. It's never like this perfect first this, then that. Mm-hmm. Except that God loved us first.
That's clear. The first, yeah.
But in our lives, they mutually reinforce each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great promise. And that's why I don't have to hold back from just doing my best to obey God because I know it's going to help me love God more.
Let's be honest. This is why we're addressing this. I think there's a lot of spiritual unhealth because people don't keep his commands. They don't mm-hmm. take obedience as a real responsibility, something that mm-hmm. they should do.
Yeah.
Because we've been taught, we've kind of been trained or we've received, I think, this feeling that seems like legalism, right? If you just do things over time just to do them, then it's usually like we're scared of that being legalism.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think sometimes it's a lack of fear of God. Mm. It's not a big deal if I don't obey. Mm. I think sometimes we don't see God's word as truly authoritative. So it's like no big deal. It's a suggestion, but there's not going to be any real consequences.
Right.
I was just thinking about many times when we obey something almost secretly, when we know God is leading us to do something, and maybe no one else would know if we obeyed that or not, that's actually a very powerful way to be more spiritually healthy because you're training your heart to obey the lordship of Christ in your life, and no one else is going to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about last year, maybe it was the year before, when we were in marital counseling, and there were
just
ways.
Put that out there, huh?
People already know. We've talked about it.
It's all good. Everything's good.
Yeah. There were ways God was leading me to just grow as a wife. And there were so many times when I felt in my heart like, if I didn't do this right now, it wouldn't be a big deal. But I knew, no, this is what God's told me to do. And that was like powerful for me because it trained my heart to obey the Lordship of Christ.
So good. It's Matthew 6, right? He who sees in secret will reward you. It's the things that we're doing just for the audience of one. That's what this boils down to. Not what other people will see or say, but what God says about us. We're compelled by that.
In my Bible reading, I read about when someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? So the person asked, what is the greatest commandment? They asked for one. But Jesus did what he wanted, like he always did. And he said, well, the first is this, love God. But the second is like it, love people. Jesus refused to boil it down to just one almost. Like I kind of see it as what we're talking about. Loving God and obedience. Loving God, loving people. You can't have one without the other. Even in that, I think Jesus was in some ways like connecting those two.
It's good.
You can't just be like, I'm just going to love God. That's it. People, not so much.
Yeah, that's really good. We're actually going to come back to that a little bit and dig more into places where explicitly Jesus defines the commandments that he's talking about.
Oh, oops.
Well, that's good.
I jumped ahead. Sorry.
Well, hey, you know, it's just hard to rein in an intellect like yours. You're just always getting way ahead of everybody. The third thing is that because loving him and commandment keeping are inseparable, and because they're mutually reinforcing, like we talked about, so our commandment keeping is a pathway to deeper abiding in him. It's the pathway to spiritual health and fullness. Jesus himself, think of how many times, even here in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 15, he refers back to himself and his connection with the Father. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus was the only one who ever lived that full life of abiding or being full of the Spirit, whatever you want to talk about. He was the absolute picture of spiritual health. And so what he's communicating to us is, this is how I experience that fullness or that spiritual health, is by abiding in the love of the Father and keeping his commands. And so those two are inseparable, and they are the pathways to that fullness. It leads us to the following verse, 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. So I think it's good maybe just to dig in a little bit more into what abiding in Christ is. It seems like that picture of fullness that we're talking about is really described two ways in the New Testament, being full of the Spirit and abiding in Christ. I think those are roughly equivalent ways that Jesus used to talk about, hey, this is what walking in fullness and this full spiritual health that we're talking about is. Now, the fact that neither of those are the natural state of the Christian, or maybe it just like can be assumed about a Christian, is shown by the fact that they're both commands, right? To abide in him is the only command in John 15, 1 through 10. And then it says to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5, 18. So that means, I think, that the state that's described by either abiding or being filled with the Spirit is a greater measure of his presence in our hearts.
Right.
It's a greater experience of his grace and his goodness in us. And Jesus lived in that state all the time. That's what his life was. He was always in that fullness. But as believers, we've been gifted with the Spirit. It's been declared over us that we are God's children, that we are loved by him. And yet there's a fullness that we can experience because we're commanded to do it. We're commanded to pursue it. And so that fullness of abiding in him, experiencing the fullness of the Spirit, we pursue those things. And this is one of the primary ways that we do this, made very clear here by John 15, 10, is by keeping his commandments.
Which I think does completely change how we think about obedience, because I want more of God. I love experiencing God's presence. I know it's the best thing in my life. So if I can convince myself of that in the moment when I don't want to obey, that this is going to help me get more of God, I think that makes obedience way more exciting.
No doubt.
When I feel selfish and I don't want to serve someone or I feel irritable, if I could convince myself in that moment, this will get you more of Jesus. This is the way to the abundant life, to the fullness of the Spirit. Then that changes how we think about obedience.
No doubt. I think that thought that we have to have the right mental state or be at the right level of love before we obey, that just gives ourselves way too much credit. right? We're just not always operating at that level. And so sometimes it is a matter of, hey, I need to obey this because it's the right thing to do. And I trust I'm going to see the fruit on the other side of more of him in my life.
Absolutely. I think we need to be prepared to most of the time not feel like it, you know?
That's good.
And that's just part of it.
Right.
I'm selfish.
Yep. So the fourth thing about commandment keeping is that it's empowered by the Spirit. This is incredible news for us. Anybody who's ever felt discouraged, felt like desperate to see progress in this, John 14:15-16 says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." You know, we've talked about the Spirit as the helper. In this context, he's talking specifically, I think, about him being a helper so that we could obey the commands that Jesus gives to us. So the Spirit comes as a helper to help us keep his commandments. He enables us to do it. He empowers us to do it. And even in that moment that we were just talking about, when it's difficult, we don't rely on our own discipline. We don't rely on our own strength. We can cry out to the Spirit and be fully open with God. We can say, I don't feel like doing this. I feel powerless to do this. And that's the time that we can look to him in desperation, and the Spirit will help us. He will be our helper to be able to obey his commands.
I think it's like we've talked about before, when you stop and think about it, like I have like this other person living inside me, and how crazy that is. I mean, the only other way I can relate to that is like when I'm pregnant, I have another person living inside me, and that's just weird. We have another person living inside us that is other than Shaney. So it's not just all up to Shaney to muster up the strength to be patient when I'm hangry or something. I have this other person who's like, Shaney, here, I'll give you that right now.
It's good. Hangry Shaney. Look out.
Stay away.
We need the Spirit.
Yes.
Please, Spirit, come. The fifth thing, I think, is maybe just to clarify, what are his commandments? That's what can trip us up sometimes, right? Are we talking about the Old Testament law? Mm. What commandments are we talking about? So he does make it plain. 1 John 3:23 says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us." So the commandment is to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus, and love one another. So you see how those things are wrapped up, like we keep seeing over and over again, is the commandment keeping is tied in. Wow.
Sorry, it's time for our kids' Hindi class. Chalo, it's fine.
So what we see is keeping his commandments is founded on believing in his name and loving one another. We see that even there in John 15 again, right after these verses we've been spending most of our time in verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I think it's really just an expression of what Jesus himself said several times, that all of the law is summed up in these commandments. You just talked about it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That boils down everything we're talking about in keeping his commandments, can really just be said there. I think it is, though, notable that there in 1 John he says, this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. And so love is really the root of the commandment, is that we would love one another. We believe in him. Believing in God, I think, is also, you can't separate belief in God with love for God. Those two are just basically two sides of the same coin, or even kind of overlapped and intermixed. And so that idea that the fundamental piece of commandment keeping can all really be embodied and described in loving God and loving people. I think, though, it's important for us to think through what loving people means, because it does seem, when it's stated that simply and kind of baldly, it's almost like, well, I could have this feeling towards people, right? But to think through what God actually means is there's an active carrying out of loving people that manifests itself in very tangible ways that we have to be pursuing.
Yeah, I think it can all be summed up as love God and love people. However, God knows we need a lot of help with both of those, and neither of those come naturally to us, and he's very gracious that he gives us a lot of specifics of how to do that.
That's right.
So he tells us, that we have to treat his word like it's our daily bread. That's a part of loving God, getting the word. He tells us, be hospitable. Share what you have with others. Put others before yourself. Don't lie to people. He gives us all these ways because he knows, apparently, if he just left it as, oh, love people, we're not going to do a great job.
I think that's exactly right. 1 John 3:18 puts it very clearly, I think, the challenge. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. That means putting our love to work. As one of our good friends and colleagues says, he says, do your faith. That gets the idea of putting that into action. You know, we're reading through the Bible over the course of the year in Exodus right now, right after the giving of the law, and there's all the additional kind of statutes and rules, which can always be a little confusing as Christians about how specific it all got. But just as I was thinking about what we're talking about in this episode a couple days ago, reading that bit in Exodus, I was just thinking about, okay, this is why these rules and statutes in some ways are so important, because it's making tangible the love that we are supposed to be manifesting towards other people. That's why I think it's given more weight or more sort of time in the scriptures, is because love is the root and the foundation, but then there's all these ways that that manifests itself. And we need to be encouraged sometimes to do those very specific things. Now, again, I don't think that we're compelled to obey, obviously, all the Old Testament law. There are New Testament correspondents to this that Jesus gave us in the Sermon on the Mount, in other places, in the epistles as well, where we see this is what it means to tangibly live out the love we're supposed to have for God and other people.
Yeah, it's good. It's just making me think about our relationship with our children. We want them to obey us because they love us. But sometimes they obey us because we're the authority over them. And just both of those things are aspects of our relationship with God. He's our loving Father. He wants us to remember that every day. So that's why we're supposed to even say that every time we pray. Pray to your Heavenly Father. But I think there is an aspect of, this is God's law. You need to obey it. He's the authority.
Good. So they're inseparable.
Yes.
Right? Keeping his commandments, loving him. Those are inseparable. I think that's what verses 9 and 10 of John 15 show us very clearly.
And I think it's helpful to remember that God's commands are always loving and for our good. So there's no issue with, am I obeying him because I love him, or am I obeying him because he's the authority over my life and I'm fearing him? Great. Whatever. It doesn't matter what your motivation is, because his obeying him is always the right thing to do, and it's always going to result in my good and other people's good and God's glory. And I want to reiterate the ways that we obey God in secret, he always sees and he honors. I think that's a wonderful promise, that when I'm obeying him in little ways that no one else will know, he is using that for my good, to train my heart for further obedience and growth in him. And when I disobey him in secret, that's also negatively affecting my abiding with him. No one else might ever know. They might be things that don't really seem to affect people, but they affect my relationship with Jesus. They affect my spiritual health. And that's why obedience is super urgent and important.
So good. Yeah, it really does. I think maybe the reason why a lot of people struggle is because of this very fact of, you know, you may have a good quiet time or whatever, maybe diligent in reading the Bible and prayer, but this act of putting our love to work through obeying him and keeping his commands, we just fall off on. And I think that that's why maybe people are struggled and caught up in that ill health.
So be encouraged to continue training your heart to obey, and to be ready for it to be hard sometimes, but to know it's love and obedience always together. And we will continue talking about this other aspect that we have mentioned, enjoying God, abiding in his love through enjoying him, in part 2.
Yep, that's right.
Thanks, friends.